your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
David Britton.
Taking it to space one more time.
Only once?
Well, just every time you say one more time, everyone's like, oh shit, we're taking it back to space, kind of thing.
Yep, yep.
What's going on, mate? There's always, look, everyone was pretty excited about recreating the moon launch landing, weren't they? That was quite a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's actually still going. If you go to space.com, they've been doing a sort of inverted in quotes live, but a blow-by-blow as it happened 50 years ago on their website.
Okay.
So, I mean, that, and on the timeline, they haven't got back to Earth yet. So, yeah, they've been doing the whole thing right from the pre-launch through to after splashdown.
Nice. Now, hey, David, sure, obviously this is the big news of the week. Shall we just quickly run through the other small stories we've got and then come back to the moon landing?
Yeah, absolutely, okay.
Okay, what have we got first off?
Well, first off, over in Hawaii, there are 13 telescopes at the top of Mauna Kea, the big dormant volcano in Hawaii. Those 13 observatories are there because it's a very high location that's above most of the moisture in the air. It's very advantageous for telescopes, especially those observing in ultraviolet and infrared wavelengths. You know, at 4 kilometers, 4,000 meters above the sea level, it's a very, very dry. So there's a telescope called a 30-meter telescope. I might have mentioned it before. That they'd been planning, and they thought they had everything sorted, but there were delays, both legal and peaceful protests from native Hawaiians that delayed that project for 4 years.
Mm.
Earlier this year, the Supreme Court in Hawaii ruled that the construction permit that the telescope had was valid and work on the observatory could go ahead. Which was meant to have begun a week ago. Unfortunately, from the telescope point of view, the astronomers, activists have been blocking the mountain, which has not just caused the telescope construction to not go ahead at this stage, but has also meant all the other 13 observatories have had to cease operations as well.
I know that marijuana has just been legalized in Hawaii, so maybe, hopefully everyone just sort of chills out a bit and carries on.
Well, the thing is that that's been, that the astronomers, the scientists, and the project people have been at great pains to try and find common ground and compromise. I mean, this 4 years of delays hasn't been people sitting on their hands.
Mm.
And I know, well, secondhand, through one of the people who worked on the project, the angst that they've gone through to try and do the right thing, considering the environment and the culture and the economy,
I guess,
and so on.
I guess from
but
the locals,
it's become a bit of a touchstone with the indigenous people. I mean, this is only one part of the sort of thing they're concerned about. I mean, they regard the mountain as being sacred and so on.
That's right. I assume that from a local point of view, they want the delay to go on forever, so they're not fussed.
Not really sure. Oh. As I said, it's become a bit of a touchstone for wider
sure
issues than just the mountain.
Pretty sure the locals don't want any telescopes at all, I'd say. That's probably their angle, ideally.
Possibly. Yeah, I think some of them want to secede from the United States.
Hmm.
Maybe.
You know, so it
maybe
goes much deeper than just telescopes on a mountain.
Yes, 100%. It, in a spiritual sense, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So just need to watch that, because this telescope they want to build, 30 meters in size, is going to be, if it's completed, would be the second largest after the European Extremely Large Telescope, which is going ahead in Chile. It'll be larger than 30 meters. So
the name of that telescope again?
The 30-meter telescope, TMT.
But the one in Chile is called the Extremely Large Telescope?
The European Extremely Large Telescope. They're not very imaginative with their name.
Great. Now, David, India, their orbiter lander rover is launched, headed toward the moon.
Yes, well, last time I spoke, they were going to launch, That didn't happen a week ago. There was technical problems, but it finally launched last night, our time. So it's gone up into orbit around the Earth. It won't get to the Moon until September. So what it'll do is just give it a little bit of a kick when it's in close to the Earth and gradually expand its orbit until it just needs one final kick to reach the Moon. So I'll keep you posted. This one's going to go into orbit around the Moon, and then a lander will go down to the surface, and then a rover will come off the lander and go wandering around. The big difference, really, for this mission is it's going to land near the South Pole, 70 degrees south. No other soft landings have been done that far from the equator.
Yes.
So we'll keep track of how that gets on.
Now, Tekapo are going to open an astro-tourism centre. Is this going to be similar to the Stardome?
No. We don't have much in the way of tourism as a formal business at Stardome. No, this has actually just been opened at Tekapo. It's called the Dark Sky Project. It's a joint venture between Ngāi Tahu Tourism and Graham Murray and Hide Ozawa, who formerly had a company called Earth and Sky. So Earth and Sky has become Dark Sky Project in conjunction with Ngāi Tahu Tourism. So it's a big centre. It houses a restored telescope from last century. So it's an $11 million development in total. $3 million in government funding from the Tourism Growth Partnership Fund in 2016 got it on its way. So it has a restaurant, a cafe, diner there, but it's a departure point for astro-tourism to the outdoors and stargazing experiences, going up to the Mount John Observatory and so on. And really that's just part of what the Mackenzie Dark Sky Reserve is about. That Tekapo is part of the Dark Sky Reserve in that whole area in the Mackenzie Basin, and that is recognised as one of only 11 dark sky reserves in the world, international dark sky reserve. And it was one of the first, I think it was the second in the world to be.
What was the name of that hill or lookout? Was it John?
Mount John.
Mount John. It's got telescopes that are run by Canterbury University.
Oh, okay. There we go.
You all right with that, John?
Perfectly fine with that. Sweet, now, Mount John, assuming, would be a great place for looking at the moon. And speaking of the moon,
far out.
50 years.
Great segue.
Yo.
What's been going on? So the big story is it's the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11's moon landing.
Have we figured out what the moon even is?
It's made of cheese. Everyone
what
knows
even
that.
Is it?
I'm the moon.
What's it doing, eh? Get out of here, moon. You're mucking around.
Well, we know it doesn't smell like cheese. It's got quite a metallic sort of smell. We do know that.
Okay.
Well, I just put that egg. I mentioned it a couple of times in the last few weeks leading up to it. Hopefully people, yourselves included, have been watching, listening, become involved in some of the things to do with the anniversary. So rather than me just rabbiting on, I wondered if you had any, you know, burning questions about it that maybe I won't be able to answer.
Deep breaths on that one.
Did Saturn, was Apollo 11 on one of those like Saturn rockets to get it into orbit?
Yeah. All the Apollo missions were on the Saturn V.
Okay. And
Saturn V,
yes,
was the largest in a series of rockets, and in fact it ended up being the largest rocket ever to have been launched. So all of the missions, not just the ones that went to the moon, but the ones that went around, because before they went to the moon, they went around the Earth first with earlier missions in Apollo 7 and Apollo 10, testing out other parts of the mission. So it was a series of missions leading up to Apollo 11 where they actually went down to the surface. When they went, though, there's only 50-50 chance they'd actually get to the surface. That's what Armstrong and Aldrin said. You know, their aim was to try and get to the surface. And they gave themselves 50-50 chance that they'd actually achieve that. They also gave themselves only the 30% chance of getting back to Earth.
Far out. That's crazy. I did hear that apparently, was it Eisenhower? Or who was the president at the time? I forget. But
Nixon.
There you go. They had like a speech prepared if they didn't come back. I'd love to hear that. Like, well, what it was, I wonder if that ever leaked out. Like, man, that's a pretty heavy... I guess you got to have all that stuff covered, don't you, for the public and whatnot?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he had a speech for, if it was successful, which was made shorter. He wanted to make himself sort of the centre of it, and he was persuaded to not do that. but he also had a second speech prepared in case things went wrong. That became part of public... information with when the Nixon Library was set up and so on, so it became known fairly soon after.
I'm thinking about space now, Peter. David, you've gone and made me do it again. Thinking about space. I watched Interstellar on the weekend. Thought about space a little bit more, but then I also thought about the future of the planet a little bit. And do you think I actually was like? It's kind of spot on the way they've sort of skewed that to where it's like, oh, they're just farming everything until like certain things just stop growing. And then, I don't want to ruin everything for everyone, but there's basically a village in the sky that ends up happening. Is that the vibe in the future, do you think? Back to the moon.
I think we ought to use written questions.
Well, I mean, is that how you see it playing out? Is that how you see it playing out at all? Or do you think it's even possible for us to just live around in a cylindrical sort of wax cylinder in the sky? Or what's the...
I think it's going to take longer and be more difficult than a lot of people hope it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean...
The whole part of that movement was they solved the problem of gravity, and I mean that is actually the biggest issue, isn't it? It's getting off this rock, and how we do that.
Well, there is that, but there's also the problem that when you're in space, just like traveling between planets, for instance, you've also got the problem of no gravity.
Yes, I think that the whole thing with the cylindrical thing is it's spinning, so you have that centrifugal force. But look, we could pick it to death. It's fascinating to think about that kind of stuff, isn't it? And I do like when a movie kind of has a nudge at the future, and they kind of do it in a pretty good way in that movie, I think. But
well, it's not a pleasant thing for a couple of really good science advisors there who really do know their stuff.
You're right, because people pick it apart, yeah.
Yeah, Kip Thorne, for instance, yeah.
Okay, well, what time are we expecting this moon business to sort of wrap up? When do they officially get back from the moon, like recreating the 69 situation? You said it's in real time.
It's the one question I hadn't... prepared for. I can't remember the actual date they got back. I think it's in a couple of days.
Okay, so
I think the 24th, I think, in US time, so it'll be after that for us.
Okay.
But just go to space.com. They've got the whole thing going live there as if it were happening like 50 years ago.
Right.
But I mean, as far as Stardome goes, we've got a giant leap exhibition that goes two more days, so that goes till Thursday, so that I think that's sort of time to more or less coincide with the actual return of the astronauts. But the other reason at Stardome is we're moving to the next exhibition, which is called Women in Science Exhibition, WISE, which starts in the middle of August. So preparations are starting for that. Next week, we also have a new show called Mars 1001. So that might be something that would be down your street, where it's about 50 minutes long, so it's a reasonable feature show in the planetarium, which is a journey to Mars and back using advanced digital simulations and cutting-edge technology and so on. So be pretty exciting. I've seen it, and I think it's really, really good.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, thank you very much, David. We're getting very close to the 5 o'clock news here, so we'll have to jet off.
That was terrible.
I'll leave you guys to your sunny window.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Appreciate it. We can see space from here as well.
Oh, that's good.
I know that blue is just made up by my own mind as well. I know that's not true.
Speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, all right,
thank you, David.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.